The following is a recording from Maria Barona with iAdvise on Wednesday, April 30th, 2014 at 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Good morning. My name is Chelsea, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Gentera First Quarter Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. Instructions for this portion will be given after the speaker's presentation. I'll now turn the conference over to Mr. Enrique Barrera Flores, Investor Relations Officer for Gentera. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Gentera, thank you very much for joining us. Presenting today are Mr. Carlos Manel, Gentera's Chairman of the Board, Mr. Enrique Mayor, Chief Executive Officer for Banco Compartamos, Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Chief Financial Officer for Gentera, as well as myself, Enrique Barrera Flores. Please note that with this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on the forward-looking statement can be found in the disclaimer located in the company's quarterly report, which was issued yesterday. To receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. Thank you for your kind attention. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Carlos Danel, who will begin the presentation with a discussion of Gentera results, followed by Mr. Enrique Mayor, who will review the performance of Banco Compartamos, and Patricio Diez de Bonilla, who will discuss the financial results for Gentera. Carlos, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique. Good morning to everyone. Thank you for participating in this call and for your continued interest in Gentera. As we close the first quarter of 2014, we're encouraged by the results of recently implemented strategy, while at the same time take stock of additional efforts that we need to secure the future. Key to our efforts are sustained investments to increase our footprint, while at the same time diversifying and strengthening of our products. In a more competitive market, such as the one we face now and will face in the future, the key to have a competitive advantage is and will be client knowledge. And Gentera, mainly through our Compartamos subsidiary, has been and remains at the forefront in solving clients' needs. Our time and effort is spent building up to serve our clients with more products and in more geographies, implementing a multi-product and multi-country strategy. And growth continues to be central to that strategy. Even in a quarter where growth in loan volume might seem marginal, a closer look is required to better understand the situation and the dynamics. Overall, our portfolio rose 9% year-on-year to reach a total of 21.4 billion pesos. However, average portfolio growth year-on-year was above 13%, which is one of the reasons why we were able to deliver a net income from the quarter of 621 million pesos, a 22% increase compared to the same quarter of the previous year. Our Peruvian and Guatemalan operations showed impressive annual growth of their portfolio, with 35 and 54% respectively. And in Mexico, even though portfolio growth for the end of the quarter compared to the first quarter of 2013 grew 3.7%, average portfolio, which is the driver of revenue, grew by 10.2% on a year-to-year basis, which helped drive net income for the quarter to 618 million pesos, a 6.4% increase. Now, one has to bear in mind also that the first and second quarters of 2013 saw abnormal growth because of the ramping up of our urban lending in early 2013. But perhaps more important is the fact that after a decline in the number of total clients in the fourth quarter of 2013, this quarter growth was over 64,000 net clients and over 82,000 in the group lending products alone. We have not achieved this rate of growth in clients for more than four quarters. The consequence, of course, is that the fact that new clients have smaller loans, and this impacts the average loan balance, which remained mostly flat on a year-to-year basis with 1% growth, while annual growth on the first quarter of 2013 was over 24%. Now, given all of this, and given the fact that client growth is the seed for volume, we still expect to grow our overall portfolio around 17 to 20% in 2014, as we have guided in the past. Now, as you know, Banco Compartamos in Mexico continues to be our largest subsidiary, and the bank continues to grow with quality, with overall NPLs mostly stable at 2.98%, serving 2.6 million clients with 527 offices and 16,700 employees by the end of the quarter. Now, interest income grew 11% to close to 3 billion pesos, with a net income of 618 million pesos, which, as I mentioned, is 6.4% above the first quarter of 2013. Now, Enrique Majós will talk in more detail about the dynamics for the bank, but as you can see, the first quarter of the year showed strong improvement in key lines. Now, moving on to the Peruvian operation, Compartamos Financiera experienced tremendous growth in the number of clients, with a jump of over 49% compared to the first quarter of 2013, reaching nearly 212,000 clients, and total loan portfolio growth of 35%. These are solid figures when you consider that Peru is one of the most competitive countries in microfinance. Our strategy of introducing Crédito Mujer continues to drive significant growth and set pace for financial inclusion in Peru. At the end of this first quarter, we're serving seven times more clients in Crédito Mujer compared with a year ago on the first quarter of 2013. As we have said in the past, the strategy in Peru is to become a national player with an even broader product offering. Now, regarding Guatemala, again, we're seeing dramatic surge in the client base, reaching 71,000 clients. The number of employees grew 14% to 502, and we opened two new service offices for a total of 28. This is a market in which we're seeing and have experienced tremendous demand for the loan product, namely Crédito Mujer. In this quarter, we grew the total loan portfolio by 54% on average, and the average loan per client reached 3,000 pesos, which is the highest so far for this operation. And the financial result was the most encouraging so far. We reached a 73% higher interest income versus the first quarter of 2013, and we posted the first ever profitable quarter, achieving a 3 million peso net earning. We expect Guatemala to continue to grow and increase the share of earnings it contributes to Gentera in the future. Now, moving to Yapta, our banking correspondent manager, has so far affiliated close to 3,300 mom-and-pop stores throughout four Mexican states. Our focus today is the 900 affiliates that have been approved by the Mexican National Banking and Securities Commission for the execution of financial transactions. Without the ability to provide financial transactions as a full bank correspondent, this network makes no sense. This is a key piece in Gentera's distribution channel strategy by aiding us to expand our service offering closer to the client and by offering saving services to our clients. This year, we will continue to innovate and build the business model of Yapta to eventually be able to massify our footprint throughout the country. And finally, Aterna, the company's microinsurance broker, sold over 3.2 million life insurance policies during the first quarter of 2014. But most importantly, Aterna is slowly diversifying its source of income, with 45% of revenue now coming from non-Gentera parties. I will end my remarks, but not before mentioning that Gentera was once again placed among the top companies to work for in Mexico. This time, we were named number one for the large company category, and we stand proud as it reflects the strength of our sense of purpose and our corporate culture. We will continue to put people first and to provide an exceptional working environment for all. Thank you, and I will now turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Majós, CEO of Banco Compartamos, who will review the performance of our Mexican operation.
Thank you, Carlos, and thank you all for your interest on Compartamos Banco results for this quarter. As we have seen, economic activity in Mexico started slower than expected this year. We see a challenging macroeconomic environment. However, we still feel comfortable with our projections for this year. Even considering the slowdown in the dynamic of the economy, we met our goals for this quarter. Results are in line with our guidance for the year, and Patricio Diaz de Bonilla will explain deeply on the financials. But before getting into the business indicators, it is important to remember that the evolution that our credit business has had during the last year and the first quarter of this year has been following the life cycle microcredit has all around the world. As we mentioned in previous reports, microfinance business is about growing and controlling as a regular and continuous life cycle. We also explained that for our group lending methodology, 2013 was a year with focus on controlling after 2 years of aggressive competition. Our group lending strategy for the last year was clearly successful since we increased our customer retention rate and our NPLs were by far outstanding compared with the average of the industry. And for our individual lending methodology, our strategy during 2013 was to grow our capacity to offer the product, increasing our loan officer sales force and the number of branches in which we offered the product. Following the natural life cycle of microcredit business, this year we can expect that our group lending products will start growing again. And for the individual lending products, we are dedicating our efforts this year to control our NPLs and reinforce our customer service and the credit assessment process. Let me also point out that Compartamos Banco continues building for the future by increasing its presence in the Mexican market, since growth in new customer is reactivated. During this quarter, we originated over 285,000 new customers, which represents 23% more compared with the first quarter of last year. We also increased our net base of customers over 64,000 people, which means we are back to the higher figures we had in 2011, just before competition started to be more aggressive. We are aware that the end-of-period portfolio growth was lower for this quarter. Compared with the first quarter of 2013, we grew 3.7%. However, if we take the average portfolio during the entire first quarter, we grew 10.2% compared with the same period in 2013. We expect to keep on growing our portfolio by increasing our customer base and eventually by increasing the average loan amount per customer, which has remained stable during this quarter. We feel comfortable with our 17 to 20% portfolio growth guidance for the year. Despite, we still see a moderated growth for the second quarter of this year. Our customer retention rate is still showing great results. We closed this quarter with 82% of customer retention rate compared with the 80% during the same period of last year, which was already a very good figure. Total 2.9% NPLs for the bank is an outstanding figure among the Mexican microfinance industry. Group lending NPLs are clearly under control, while most of our competitors are struggling with the quality of their portfolio. For the individual lending products, we know we have to work hard this year to bring them back to better ratios. Improve our loan officers training program in the individual credit products, as well as build a stronger supervision structure, are two of the most important actions we are taking to achieve the expected results for this year on this product. Our insurance products are also in good shape. We have 3.1 million insurance active policies, and we can tell we have the best microinsurance product in the market. Our Integra project, which is meant to put in place our new core SAP platform, is moving according to plan. This will allow us to operate 100% of our credit products under this new technology by the end of this year. Finally, regarding our savings project, we are moving forward as expected. This year, we should have developed our technological and operational capacities for this product in our system platform. Going massive with this product should take place during next year. And now, Patricio Diaz de Bonilla, our CFO for Gentera, will update us on the financial results of the group.
Thank you, Enrique. At this point, please allow me to review Gentera quarterly results. Let me begin by discussing the dynamics of interest income, which grew over 14% during the quarter, well above the 9% growth of the portfolio. The reason behind this growth during the quarter was an average loan portfolio increase of about 13% during the first quarter. And while we did see a slight slowdown in loan portfolio growth during the end of March, this did not affect the momentum that the interest income had for the quarter. Banco Compartamos represents close to 80% of these line items. Interest expense increased only 3.5% compared with the first quarter of 2013, despite 9% portfolio growth. The average cost of funds for the company has decreased significantly, most notably in Mexico, where we fund the business at a rate of 4.6%, an all-time low. With interest income growth together with lower interest expense, we were able to expand the net interest margin by 15%. As a result of the aforementioned, net interest margin for the first quarter of 2014 improved to 55.2%, higher than the 52.4% reported last year. On the provisioning side, we adopted a new methodology under Mexican regulation to provision the individual lending products. The methodology, which we mentioned in the press release, categorized these products under personal credit guidelines rather than under the guidelines for other consumer non-revolving products. In the past, individual lending products and the conversion of the Peruvian financial into Mexican GAAP required an extremely conservative provisioning level of nearly 300% of the NPLs. That caused NIM and profitability to be affected, particularly as asset quality fluctuated and as the business grew. Under the new methodology, which is still conservative due to the expected losses of this product, it is required approximately 200% coverage of NPLs, and this will be sufficient to cover any losses of the individual lending product, as well as the Peruvian portfolio converted into Mexican GAAP. As a result, provision for loan losses reached 255 million pesos during the first quarter. This level was 31.5% lower when compared with the previous year. As a result, NIM after provision rose to 2.8 billion pesos, a 22.2% increase compared with the 2.3 billion pesos in the first quarter of 2013, and resulted in a 50.7% margin compared with 45.2% in the first quarter of 2013. As a consequence, the coverage ratio for the quarter stood at close to 160%, a significant decline versus 190% reported during the fourth quarter of 2013. We have mentioned in the past that the coverage ratio for the group would be around 190%. With the change in methodology, we now estimate that the coverage ratio for the year end of the group will be around 170%. Commissions and fee income during the quarter grew 38.3% to 195 million pesos, compared with the last year, mainly due to higher late payment fees charged to delinquent customers at Banco Compartamos and commission originated by Compartamos Financiera, as well as fees generated through the JazzTax network. In terms of commissions and fee expenses, this increased 21.9%, including fees related to the operation of Yastas, as well as those charged by third parties for the use of their infrastructure. As it tends to occur last year, each year, expenses are skewed towards the first half of the year, when we are likely to open the majority of the service offices that are required for the year, as well as we invest the bulk of allocated resources in our strategic price. As a result, the efficiency ratio stood at 66.7% during the quarter, but we expect this ratio to come down to the mid-60s range as per our guidance for the year. Operating expenses reached 1.9 billion pesos, a 32.2% increase versus the first quarter of 2013. Salaries and benefits represented approximately 56% of operating expenses. During the first quarter of 2014, the company reached 527 services offices in Mexico, 15 in Peru, and 28 in Guatemala. As a result, the total number of service offices increased to over 600 throughout the group, which together represent 15.4% of operating expenses. Strategic projects such as the SAP implementation, handheld devices, deposit pilot projects, and the correspondent network manager jointly represented 12.7% of the operating expenses during the quarter. Total income before income tax stood at 973 million pesos, a 12.6% increase compared with the 864 million pesos reported in the first quarter of 2013. This is in line with interest income growth. As has tended to occur, the tax rate was slightly higher than expected at 36%. However, as we stated in 2013, we expect this tax rate to come down throughout the year to finalize at a similar level as last year. Finally, I just want to mention that the first quarter of 2014, net income was 621 million pesos. 22% growth versus the first quarter of previous year. This figure is strong and in line with year-end EPS guidance in the range of 154 to 159. Thank you for your attention. At this time, we look forward to your questions. Operator?
At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star two. Please limit your questions to one at a time. Again, to ask a question, please press star one. And our first question comes from Fred DeMaris with UBS.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the conference call. I have three questions, if you allow me. The first one on margins. Patricia, you mentioned that the funding cost improved in the quarter, and I would imagine there is probably little space to further improve it going forward. We saw that the margins were very strong in the first quarter, so I wanted to get your views on where we should expect net interest margins to go in the coming quarters and get your views also on competition and your pricing power. And then I have two other questions.
Yes, Fred, in terms of margins, I mean, even though the cost of funds is in Mexico, for example, 4.6%, we really think that we can a little bit of expansion and the NIM should be expected for the year-end financials as we are refinancing expensive, for example, bond issuance this year with a cheaper one. So there's a little bit of cushion still in the cost of funds that we will take advantage of. So again, this won't change materially the net interest margin, but it's still room for improvement.
Okay, and on the spread side, on the asset side, you're happy with your pricing levels? You don't feel competition, you don't feel pressure to lower them?
No, in terms of pricing, we feel very comfortable. Again, we are the lowest cost provider in the Mexican market. We don't see pressure because of competition. So the active rate for the bank should remain stable.
Okay, that's great. Moving on to my second question on Yapstas, I think Carlos mentioned you had 900 approved correspondents for four financial services. Wanted to get your views, maybe thinking in the long term. If you think of the holding in 3 to 5 years, how many correspondents with full capacity do you expect to have, and how relevant would this be for earnings?
Yes, thank you, Fred. As you know, Yastas is a key piece, like I've mentioned, in our channel strategy for the whole group in terms of how we deliver the services to our clients and the kind of services that we deliver to their clients. The end goal 3 to 5 years would be to have a network of around 20 to 30,000 banking correspondents. And when I say banking correspondents, those are approved by the CNBV to be able to do very basic banking services such as, withdrawals and deposits to savings accounts. The strategy behind Yastas is actually to be an open network. What that means is that it would be a banking correspondent for Compartamos Banco, but it might very well be banking correspondent for other banks as well. So that's why it's a key piece to be approved by the CNBV to be able to do those banking transactions. When we see others that are trying to build payment infrastructure throughout Mexico that compete with Yastas, they're still very far behind in terms of approvals with the CNBV in terms of doing banking services. So again, for us, it makes sense to create such a payment network like Yastas channel strategy, but only if they're able to do these banking transactions, not only just utility payments or airtime, but very specifically to be able to do banking transactions. So the end goal, 3 to 5 years, if we get the business model right and if we are able to offer our partners a very interesting business, we're confident that we can reach 20 to 30,000 banking correspondents throughout the country, which will give us a very competitive coverage to be closer to the client and specifically to be able to offer a very convenient saving services from Banco Compartamos.
Thank you. And in terms of earnings?
In terms of earnings, what we believe is Yastas will itself be a network that will have a return of our investment that would most likely be related to our ability to then offer the product such as savings and also be more convenient for the lending and microinsurance, which will enable us to be more competitive and, again, even increase our retention rates and cross-sell products. So it's an enabler of the bank and eventually of other microfinance institutions such as Compartamos in Guatemala and Peru, which we plan to also deploy banking correspondents there. So it strengthens our product strategy within the microfinance institutions more so than being a business by itself.
That's great. Thank you. And maybe just to finish with another quick one, you mentioned the multi-product, multi-country. So moving to the countries, we saw that Guatemala broke even already after a short period of time. So what's your latest thinking on new geographies, when you look outside of Guatemala and Peru?
As we've mentioned in the past, Fred, we're actively looking at opportunities in both models, both organic growth as well as acquisition. We don't have anything specific as to now. Organically, we believe that it makes more sense to just continue our coverage within Central America and to neighboring countries. We are still at the phase of analyzing the regulatory environments of those. Some countries have better regulatory environments than others. But we're eventually, as we consolidate our operations in Guatemala, we believe we'll move into neighboring countries in Central America. In terms of South America, we're still actively looking for opportunities, and again, nothing specific, but if something comes up, we'll communicate as soon as possible.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo with BBVA.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen, and congrats on your results. I have three questions. First, can you share with us your expectations for your sustainable ROE and the assumptions behind to achieve those levels? And secondly, I will appreciate if you can give us some details on your key factors to reach your 17 to 20% loan portfolio expansion. And finally, can you give us some color on what to expect regarding competition and particularly Banco Azteca? Thank you.
Okay, Ernesto, this is Patricio. In terms of ROE, what we have been saying, it's mid-20s ROE. It's something that we can sustain. As you can see, this quarter, we are above that threshold in, as a group. Again, this taking into consideration that we have said that we wouldn't go below 30% capitalization at the bank in Mexico, and have to do mostly with portfolio growth as well as efficiencies that we get that will bring us net income growth in the coming years to sustain these levels of returns. In terms of portfolio growth, yes, again, as we mentioned during the call, what we have seen what we saw last year was abnormal growth in the portfolio during the first semester of the year. No, as you know, as you have seen in the previous years, growth of portfolio is more skewed towards the third and fourth quarters of every year. Last year was not the case because of the implementation of the individual lending aggressive growth strategy. So it's not really an apples-to-apples comparison. So you should expect the type of growth that we posted this quarter for the next one, and this will start to pick up in the third and fourth quarter to meet the guidance. We feel comfortable with the expectations that we have for the year, so this should not be a concern for anyone in the market.
Yeah, and this is Enrique, Ernesto. In addition to what Patricia just said, and talking about competition, we actually have an environment more competitive, and that's something that is good news and has been seen very good from our perspective, since we have still market potential to serve. So I think that having this environment with more competition is good, as we have said before, and I think that competitors are out there with us struggling with the challenges that we have this year. I think that the slowdown in the economy is affecting everyone, but I also believe that NPLs under control is a very, very good competitive advantage that Compartamos has, and that maybe not everyone in the industry has now. So I think that competition is working not only on struggling with NPLs, but also trying to grow in this new environment. And we feel strong in this moment to address our customers.
And just to compliment on that, and so I think one of the, like I mentioned on my speech, one of the key drivers of Compartamos' competitive advantage is that we know more about our clients than any other of our competitors, not only because we've been serving them for longer, but I think because the model that we employ allows us to be closer to that client. So we're doing a lot of enhancements, even to our group lending, which looks very different from what it looked like a couple of years ago in terms of being able to serve better the specific needs of clients. So we're segmenting our market better, and we're being able to serve them better. One thing that's related to portfolio growth, like Patricio said, the first semester of last year, portfolio grew significantly. Yes, because we deployed our urban lending in a more aggressive way, but also because at that point most of our competitors were faltering, and we were able to consolidate a lot of the debt that clients had with those competitors into our own portfolio, and that effect happened through 2013. We like Enrique said, still believe this is a competitive market, but clearly the aggressiveness and the strength of some of the competitors, including Banco Azteca, showed in years like 2011 and 2012 is very different now. I think most of our competitors are now being more conservative. Some of them are being also more intelligent about how they go about this business, but we still have key competitive advantages being closer to the client. And in terms of asset quality, what we see in the industry is we are, you know, orders of magnitude with better asset quality, which allows us to be feel confident and grow in a more steady manner.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your answers.
Our next question comes from Chris Delgado with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good morning. My question mainly relates to group lending. Group lending grew an impressive 7% this quarter. But when you look at the detail of it, the bulk of it appears to come from Credito Comerciante, which grew 17% quarter on quarter. I just wanted to get a sense of what got you comfortable growing this product so quickly, and if you would give us a sense are these new customers, are these people converted from Credito Mujer? Could you talk a little bit about that detail as well? And I have another follow-up question.
Yeah, actually, yes, we grew more in Credito Comerciante, but we also grew in Credito Mujer. I think the trend that we have this quarter in Credito Mujer has changed if we compare it with last year, which was very stable. And yes, both credits or both products are very important to address our market. As we have said, the larger opportunity in market potential is maybe in starting serving not only women but also men. And Credito Comerciante is a product that is allowing us to address that market. So that's Credito Mujer is only for women. So I think that's one of the reasons Credito Comerciante is growing. But we feel that both products are addressing the same need on the customers, and I think that we can see together these two products in the same market dynamic.
To complement that, Chris, on your question, are these graduated clients from Credito Mujer? Mostly they're not. It's a different segment of the market, like Enrique just mentioned, not only because it includes men, but also because, again, bear in mind that Credito Comerciante is more an urban product. So Compartamos has done historically most of its work in rural and suburban markets with Credito Mujer, but again, as we move into the cities, we're better segmenting that market, and that's the result of Credito Comerciante. It's a product that serves those needs. It's a group lending product, but there are smaller groups responding to, you know, smaller social cohesions in urban markets. And again, it's a product that we are finding in great demand in those markets.
Great, that's helpful. And then lastly, you guys highlighted that growth, you know, the average book was stronger, you know, than the quarter end figures show. But I guess what kind of made you decide, you know, what kind of led to the slowdown, I guess, at the end of the quarter? Was just a drop off in demand? Did you see a change in risk profile? Could you kind of explain what drove that differentiation?
Yeah, what we have seen during the quarter, and maybe as you are saying, and at the last of the quarter, more importantly, is that the renewals that we are having in our group lending products are coming with a little less amount that the customer was asking for before. And we believe that has to do with the slowdown in the economy. As we have explained before, microfinance follows the same dynamic that follows the market in general, the consumer market, but maybe with a lag of 6 months. So what we are looking now in our business is maybe the slowdown the economy in Mexico had maybe in the second half of last year. So, but on the other hand, we also see that we still have market potential, and in terms of number of clients, we are growing better than in the previous quarter. So at the end of the day, the combination of these two factors will take us to the 17 to 20% we are expecting this year in portfolio.
Great. And then actually just one last question. In terms of, you know, Credit Corp's acquisition of Mi Banco in Peru, have you guys felt like there's any opportunity there for you guys to take share and maybe grow faster?
Yes. I mean, again, we're very active not only through, with our own products in Comportamos Financiera now in Peru. We are actively looking at the possibilities of further market consolidation within the Peruvian market, which we believe will happen in the future. We haven't seen the right opportunity come by, but again, we're actively looking, and if we find the right opportunity, we will seek that opportunity to also grow by acquisition within Peru. Peru, as we mentioned, is a very competitive market, so acquisition is a possibility. But again, a lot of the growth that we're experiencing in Peru is because of the strategy that we've implemented of also growing into serving suburban and rural markets with Crédito Mujer, which nobody else in Peru really is doing in terms of major competitors, including Credit Corp or Mi Banco.
Great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Gustavo Roba with BTG Pactual.
Hi, good morning. I have two questions. First, I understand that your expenses are under pressure due to the several projects that you're implementing, but I was just trying to understand for how long this pressure will continue and what's the size of the gain that you expect once all the projects are implemented, including the implementation of SAP.
Okay, thank you, Gustavo. This is Patricio. No, we said that expenses are skewed towards the first part of the year. So we spend more in the first and second quarters of every year due to the opening of service offices, due to new personnel that enters Compartamos and Gentera as a group, because we create infrastructure in the first part of the year to take advantage of the seasonality and strong demand that we see in the third and fourth quarter of every year. So I wouldn't say that they're under pressure above what we have been guiding in the past. Of course, we have within the expenses the strategic projects such as SAP, such as JASTAS, such as savings, etc., that will continue to keep the efficiency ratio in the mid-60s range for this year. Of course, this, I would say that today, the first quarter, would be the highest point of expense growth throughout this 2014 and should come down towards the end of the year to be closer to the mid-60s ranges that we guided for the year.
And thanks. And going forward, do you believe you can achieve maybe a lower 60s or a high 50s efficiency ratio, or is this a comfortable? Is this a level that you are comfortable with?
No, I think that in the medium term we will continue to deal with the mid 60s at least for this year and next, and gradually we'll come down to the lower 60s range. As the strategic projects kick in and we get the efficiencies from those projects, as well as we stop spending heavily in new product development.
Thanks. And if you allow me, I have a second question regarding loan loss provisions. You've talked about the changing methodology and how it made loan loss provisions reduce in the first quarter. So, but I was wondering what's the level of provisions that you expect for the following quarters. Is it correct to assume that they should increase a little bit, but not getting back to the previous high levels of 2013?
Yes. We discussed in previous calls that the coverage ratio should be around 190% of the NPLs. With this change in methodology, we expect this number to come down to 170 around for the year end, and should be around going forward. So there's a 20% benefit due to the change in methodology that should be reflected by the year end.
That's cool. Thanks.
Our next question comes from Rafael Escobar with Vector.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my question. That is related also to the provision for loan losses in the P&L. And the question again is, why did you charge a lower amount on the first quarter that you said that this was due to in accordance with the CNBV regulations and methodologies, reflecting the level required for each particular product? When we see the detail of the credit quality for non-performing loans by product, that the Crédito Individual in the first quarter has the highest NPL ratio of 8%, more than 6% reflect at the end of the last year.
Okay, Rafael, Patricio again. When we decided to grow aggressively in individual lending methodology, of course this was a new segment in which we rather had a more conservative coverage ratio due to the uncertainty of the expected losses that we had for those two products. Once we have been dealing with those two products in a growth phase for more than 24 months, the expected losses that we estimate are well below the 200% coverage that we have now as a coverage ratio. So you can tell that even with the change in methodology for provisioning, we're very well covered for the expected losses that we have for these two product categories. So again, it's simply to reflect better the risk profile of these products going forward and make it a better use or make it more efficient also use of the provisioning level.
Yeah, and in addition to that, Rafael, I can tell you that our expected NPL ratio for individual lending, as we have said before in other conferences, is that we see it in around 5 to 7%. We actually have a higher NPL now, but we are also looking that since, let's say, last December, we have much better vintages. I mean, the credit that we are originating since December have a better quality. So our expectation and our work for this year, as I was saying, is to low down that 8%. Maybe this will take us the year, because once the vintages are getting with better quality, you need to change the trend of the whole portfolio. But by the end of the year, we are expected to go to those ranges that are healthy in this kind of product, which are from 5 to 7%.
Fine. We will see the NPL ratio in the next quarter. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Jose Barbaria with Bank of America.
Thank you. I just want to follow up with regards to this issue on the provisions, or this topic of the provisions and how it impacts your the guidance that you have provided at the beginning of the year. Now, I understand that this change came into effect in March, and the guidance that you had provided earlier during the fourth quarter conference call or even before assumed earnings growth of 12 to 15% this year. Given that now you are in this situation of having to provision less, given what the expected losses are, doesn't that guidance of 12 to 15% seem conservative because it didn't take into account the lower provisioning level? And if that's not the case, what are you feeling less comfortable with any other lines that might not that would prevent you from being, I guess, a little bit more bullish on the guidance? Thanks.
I mean, Jose, this is Patricio. Now, in terms of guidance, I mean, this is the first quarter still, so it's too soon to do any modification about it. We feel comfortable with the guidance, both in portfolio as well as net income. We, even though we guided in February, we already knew that we were we were about to do this change in methodology. So the guidance had already this into consideration. So you shouldn't, of course, as we move along throughout the year, as every year, there's a possibility of an upside. However, we are sticking to the guidance provided last quarter.
Perfect. Thank you. That was it.
Our next question comes from Lillian Stark with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning. I had a question on Grace de Mujer, which was answered already, and as well on the operating expenses. So I have no questions at this time. Thank you.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. And our next question comes from Carlos Vasquez with Banamex.
Thank you very much. And first of all, congratulations for the report. And, my question was related to the efficiency ratio, which has already been answered, so there are no more questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Lillian, and thank you, Carlos.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Okay, there are currently no questions in the queue at this time, and I would like to turn the call back over to Mr. Daniel.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everyone, for your time this morning. As always, we appreciate your interest in Gentera. This has been a great start for 2014, and we expect to continue delivering our results throughout the year and to share it with you through these calls. So thank you, and good day.